This is my journey. Inspired one story at a time, a library of leaders was created. It began as a journey to learn. As time went on, it began to grow. All it needed was a platform, and this podcast was created. To listen, to inspire, to share. I am a storyteller, and this is my journey. Welcome to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. I'm your host, Steve Anderson, and today we're going to try something different. I am always trying to improve the podcast and get better as we go, and I hope you are enjoying the new intro that I put in the last interview and will continue to do going forward. I have been very impressed with the quality of my guests and the interviews that we do on Profiles in Leadership, and I thought at this time perhaps I would go back and review some of those interviews and take out excerpts from some of the interviews, and then also make comment on them, on what I think it means and how powerful I think the statements are. So I'm going to kind of do this as, let's say, a summary of pearls of wisdom to try and go back and hear what we've learned and kind of dig into it a little deeper. So I hope you enjoy me inserting one of these summaries of pearls of wisdom every so often and mixing things up so that we can continue to learn from these great minds that I've interviewed over the last year and a half of this podcast. In an interview with Dave Chase, who identifies himself as a hope merchant, talks about how important is experience. I mean, so many times we think we need to know the answer. We want to know the answer. And sometimes it just takes time. It takes experience to learn your craft and experience a lot of different things before you can have a ready opinion on it. So I just asked him what his pearl of wisdom was, and he answered in this way.
You know, the least common thing is common sense. And sometimes the more you have life experience, I think I've learned the more you should trust your instincts on that, you know, which at one time seemed sort of illogical, like something that would hit you. And, you know, there's the stuff that Malcolm Gladwell has written about where, you know, you put in 10,000 hours on something, you actually end up having pretty good judgment, what seemed like a snap judgment. And something that, you know, is very easy to overcomplicate things.
And I think that's a great point when you think about we tend to overcomplicate things. We tend to, you know, they're very complex. And so we go down these rabbit holes and we go down these all these different scenarios, and we just tend to overcomplicate them. So to me, one of the definitions of a leader is how to take the complex and make it simple. How do we take something that seems overwhelming? How do we take something that just seems like there's just too many pieces and make it simple so most of us can understand it, and then set up systems or set up solutions to what we can do to move in a direction forward without overcomplicating it? Very much related to that, in a lecture that I heard by Coach Kevin Eastman, he states it this way, is how do we overcome the overwhelm? Well, one thing we do is we keep the main thing the main thing. Next, we prioritize time, not time management. Then we make time. We don't look for time. Next, we plan our day. We just don't show up. And then make decisions. Don't just sit and shuffle paper. We need to find a way to extend the game. And we also need to take time to think. But overall, we need to simplify, simplify, simplify. Jessica McKinney is a physical therapist who has had a private practice. She's done extensive charity work in Africa, and now she's an executive in a healthcare company. And when I asked her, "What is your pearl of wisdom?" this is what she said.
I think it would be to strive for authenticity. For me, I think it's, you know, I can read books on leadership and value that. But to try to figure out, like, what is it that compels me and drives me? I mean, you hear about people talking about being in your, you know, your genius zone or standing in your dharma. I mean, there's so many different ways to say it. But, you know, finding what is it that truly just gets you so excited and staying true to that.
This touches that piece that we've heard so much from Simon Sinek and others of defining your why. You know, why do you do what you do? Why do you get up every day? What just jazzes you? What inspires you? And it seems simple, but to really identify that is extremely important. So somebody asked me once, why do you do these podcasts? Seems like a lot of time, a lot of organization. You're not making any money out of it. Why are you doing this? And when I sat down to discover my why, I realized that my why, because I learn something every time I do one of these. And so to me, that gives me purpose, that gives me authenticity, that tells me that what I'm doing hopefully will make a difference, and that inspires me. So I think as leaders, we have to identify our why, and I think we have to help those that we lead, those that we mentor, identify their why, and why do we do the things we do. We can get so caught up in the day-to-day tasks, the achiever mentality where you're checking off the list as you go. And I think to make all that worthwhile and all that mean something, we have to find the purpose of it, and we have to define our why. And then we have to live by that. As Jessica says, we have to be authentic, and we have to go forward with, walking the talk and showing people that you really mean it and being that authentic, true self in everything you do, and people notice it. Something that's come up in many of the interviews is when we try to define leadership, when we try to define what does it mean. Some people have come up and said influence. Influence is a word. It's it's not a negative connotation. It's a positive connotation in the sense that a good leader does influence behavior. A good leader influences decisions, and a good leader shows people that by doing the right thing and coming together, that they can influence the outcome. In this very powerful interview with Jeff Ostrowski, who, as many of you may know, is going through an extreme health challenge right now, when I asked him what his pearl of wisdom was, this is what he said in relation to business.
I think the pearl is it's influence. I think that we as leaders so often underestimate the amount of influence that we have, that what we say and what we do is noticed by people, and it really matters to people. And even the little things that you go out of your way to do are noticed by people, and paying attention and treating everybody kind of fairly and equitably from that perspective is, I think, a real essential part of leadership. And I think if anything, that's one thing that I've been pretty good at over the years. And I would encourage everybody to, just really kind of get their head around that, wow, like you as a leader are on stage and people do notice what you do and it is meaningful to them. And they want to know, really what you think and how you feel. And that helps guide them in their behavior. And that's part of what makes an organization successful.
And in Jeff's statement there, he talks about whether we like it or not, leaders are on stage. People are watching you. It's almost like kids watching their parents. They don't miss anything. And how you react to situations and how you come across in authenticity, as Jessica said earlier, or how you come across in sincerity and how you come across. I mean, people want to know that you care. They want to feel that you care. And when you do that, then you have a certain amount of influence as to where the conversation and where the actions are headed. A lot of these interviews bring up common themes. And so what Jeff just referred to as influence, when I asked Nancy Reese in her interview what she thought leadership was, this was her response.
Sayings that John Maxwell has is that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. He says that repeatedly. And I use that sort of as a basis for our whole concept of leadership training here.
Another thing he pointed out in that response was making sure that you treat people fairly and that you do, you pay attention to everyone in the organization or everyone on the team. And when people aren't heard or aren't listened to, they don't feel like their message is coming across or they don't feel included or are part of the team. It causes problems. And so finding a way to get each member of the team to feel like they're worthy and they're part of this they're part of the solution. You need to find ways to do that. In this interview with Ed Anderson, he brings this point up very clearly.
Well, with leadership, I think about coaching, and I think that what you have to do is get involved with every single player that's on your team and make them feel they are just as important if they're a third substitute as they are if they're a starter. And I tried to instill that. It doesn't always happen exactly that way because something didn't work right, but still, that was my goal. I tried so hard to work with every single player that was on whatever team I was coaching. And it revolves back down to a word, that teamwork. If you're going to be a coach and you're going to have a team, you've got to have teamwork or it just won't work.
And when we talk about teams, we need to embrace and adopt a certain amount of team mentality. And a lot of people will say that the collective wisdom, the ideas that a group does together is so much more powerful than any one individual can do. We look at other things that people have said here, and it comes up often about surround yourself with the right people, let them spread their wings, let them come up with ideas and do work on their own, but always come back to the group and work as a team. And so in this next little excerpt here from Jim Glenn Jr., you can hear his passion. If you know Jim, he's just a passionate guy. And I asked him what his pearl of wisdom was, and it comes back to the same concept.
You know, the pearls of wisdom for leadership, Steve, I think we've gone over in detail before, but it's finding people smarter than you, right? It's finding the ones that care more than you do. It's getting them together. You know, PTs love Jim Collins, so anything Jim said about getting them on the bus and in the right places and then trying to get the dang bus started and then get it moving down the right direction, you know, it takes a lot of selflessness. It takes empathy. You know, all those things that we use with our patients, it's always amazed me. If physical therapists would just think about their coworkers the way they think about their patients, I think they could be much better leaders, and they would create much better leaders. You know, it's not that complicated. We just think it's different. So, you know, I think it's just that value in that we can do more together than we can alone.
And building on the same theme, what kind of teams work best? What kind of people should we be surrounding ourselves with, and what kind of wisdom are we looking from them? And so here you can hear Lisa Sladen say what she thinks we should do.
What I would say is surround yourself with individuals who are diverse in their thinking and value that diversity of thought and encourage it wherever you are.
And again, the same thought said in a different way from my interview with David McHenry.
If you're an idiot, surround yourself with geniuses. If you're a genius, surround yourself with geniuses. So that makes it pretty easy. You always have to surround yourself with people that are amazing at what they do and maybe more amazing at what you do. And that's totally fine. That's how you learn. That's how you challenge yourself. And that's how you evolve. Another one is find amazing people, give them all the resources they need, and then get out of their way. And that's one thing that I really feel like has been important for my leadership style, is that I find people that I can have tremendous amount of confidence in, and then I can provide them the resources and just let them author what their professional aspirations look like and just watch them succeed. I think the third thing that comes to mind is this concept that leaders eat last, which just means that, you know, as a leader, you need to be taking care of everybody that is working kind of underneath you and with you and for you. Before you start to take care of yourself. And I think that's really important, because if you're taking care of your team, then your team's going to take care of you.
When we're discussing leadership, what often comes up is, are there natural leaders or can you learn to be a leader? And obviously, I feel that you can learn to be a leader and that you can develop your leadership skills. I think that all the experiences that we have and all the mentors and coaches that we have and all that helps us develop our style of leadership, and we learn from that. So it's just like any other skill. You need to study it, you need to practice it, and then you need to take some risks and give it a try. And if you fail, you learn from that failure and you continue on. Pepper Barris, who was the head physical therapist and athletic trainer for the Green Bay Packers for 26 years, describes it this way in our interview.
Well, I don't think that leadership is something you're necessarily born with. I think it's your environment. I think it can be learned. I think it can be coached. And I think it's a function of a healthy culture. You know, the idea of it takes a village or a locker room or a physical therapy department or an accounting department or whatever. But if you're around an unhealthy environment, and we are community people, I think God created us that way, that we need to seek good leadership as we, as who we can mimic, who we can look to. And when we see something good, I think we can learn from bad leadership as well. I think you look at someone and say, when I get the chance to lead, I'm not going to do that. Or when you see someone who does something, you say, oh man, if I get the chance, I'm going to do that. And I think a young kid from maybe high school years on through college, through school, through grad school, early jobs should make those deposits in their brain and realize that it takes a healthy culture and leadership can be morphed. It can be coached. And, I don't know if I totally believe that leaders are born. I think leaders are bred, and realize that you say, I'm not a leader. Well, if you have any influence, you're a leader. And if you have any leadership, you are influencing. You have to realize they're kind of all the same.
On a different point, one thing that I've always felt strongly about that I think in business and leadership, you need to focus on the right things. And I think that a single focus on profits or cost reduction or things like that, if you do that, you can succeed in the short run if you're doing that, but I think it's hard to sustain over the long run. So in a discussion I had with Larry Benz about what should we focus on and what should we build our companies to be, I thought he had a great response here. So listen to this in our interview I had with Larry Benz.
You know, the analogy that I like to share with my leadership team is we know from the study of positive psychology and the study of happiness, if you will, is that the people who focus specifically on being happy are the most miserable. If you want to not be happy, focus on being happy. We know that. We know it empirically. We know it through a large body of research. Well, the same thing happens in business. If you focus on profitability, if you focus strictly on margin, if you focus strictly on cutting cost, you're not going to have profitability. Profitability is the consequence of doing other things correctly. We like to use the term obliquely. It happens because you're doing other things well. And in the case of physical therapy, I think it really, really comes out of the ability to have clinical excellence, which we kind of define as therapists that are board certified, residency trained, you're really becoming master clinicians that are participating in outcomes that are, that have all of those things with it. Our second sort of leg of the stool is, really customer service. And, how do you teach it? How do you monitor it? How do you reward for it? How do you measure it? And measuring it through systems like patient loyalty, measuring it through what we call pulse check or net promoter scores and those kinds of things, experience audits, all the things that go with kind of a customer service value proposition. And then we settled on that for many, many years. And interestingly enough, so something was missing, and what was missing was really the cognitive skills, the critical thinking skills, the emotional intelligence, the empathy, and other things that went with it. And so our third leg of the stool is really the care, compassion, excellence, and how do you train for it, and what are the interventions that you're teaching, and then how do you measure it? And in our particular case, we use a third-party survey called CARE, which is developed out of Scotland, which stands for the Compassion Relational Empathy Questionnaire, and it really allows patients to see how is their therapist focusing on them, and goal setting and those kinds of things. And if you do those things correctly and you have a service mindset of getting patients in the door and treating them effectively, the implications of doing that is that your practice will grow and that you'll have profitability. Where I see private practices, fail is because they're overly consumed and overly focused on margin and cost and revenue, if you will, without product excellence. And it, whether it be physical therapy or, you know, selling widgets, it just doesn't work that way. So that's the foundation that we've tried to work with over the years.
That is really an excellent point that Larry brings up. I mean, it's just, you know, if you look at people that are widely successful in business, you know, let's just say, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, other huge names, Howard Schultz, they didn't do it to make money. They did it because they saw an opportunity to change the world. They saw something that they could take their passion and really make a difference in the world. And the profits followed, and they were huge profits. But if you look at the same thing with sports, with musicians, you know, they don't do it. They don't give all the sacrifices. They don't put in all the practice. They don't all that to make money. They do it for the love of the game or the love of the music. They do it because it brings them joy. And if they do it well and they keep after it, often the profits will follow. And I think that's what we need to remind ourselves in business, is that we're doing it for the right reasons. Don't go in to just make money, because if you focus on money, I think in the long run, you will lose. A peer of mine, Jeff Hathaway, I heard him once say that he thinks that a lot of times people go into private practice, in physical therapy private practice, for the wrong reasons. It shouldn't be so that you can make money. It shouldn't be so that you can work the hours that you want to work. It shouldn't be because you want to be your own boss and you don't want to answer to anybody. It should be because you see something in your community that you can do better, or you can change, or you can wrap your passion around and do something to help others. And if you have that focus, then I think in the long run, you will be successful. And one final thought on this episode, I'd like to address what everyone always likes to talk about is this work-life balance. What I've always said is that I don't really look at it, at my life as being work and being personal. My life is my life. And so sometimes I spend more time on the work and it maybe gets out of balance. Sometimes I get the opportunity to spend more time on personal. And if you're looking to level it out, that can be out of balance too. So if we put up the wall between the two and say, this is work and this is personal and you can't go between, then you create tension. And then I think that's where we run into this problem of trying to find a better balance. So to me, your life is your life. You go through, it goes through cycles. Sometimes you're out of balance. Sometimes you're in balance. Sometimes you just need some time to earn your way or develop your way to get a better balance. And so I think what Mia Gonzalez-Dean says in our interview, I think sums it up pretty well.
So my pearl of wisdom would be to people in life, and I'm proud to work for Sodexo, and I have three different leaders who happen to be women that I collaborate with very intimately, and all, you know, very much respect the fact that I have, you know, my husband, Greg, my daughter, Naomi, and that we have a life outside of Sodexo. And I would really encourage people to think about joining an organization or hanging your own shingle and really trying to figure out how to thread in work-life integration with what you're doing. In kind of game theory, it's not a zero-sum game. You don't have to be this exceptional leader and then now sacrifice having, a gratifying family life. So I would just encourage people to think about that. And especially with knowledge work and remote work and different possibilities for people to engage, remotely with all this technology, that if that's something that can be an option at certain points in your lives when your children need you the most, to really strongly consider it.
I hope you've enjoyed this little twist on Profiles in Leadership podcast. As I said before, I will be doing this periodically and doing summaries just so that we can highlight just some of the amazing people I get to interview and the amazing thoughts that they have through our discussions. So, as I said, I will be doing this periodically. And for this episode, I'd like to thank you for listening. And also, if you enjoy the podcast, if you could do me a favor, I'd really appreciate it if you would go into the iTunes format for Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson and write a review. The more reviews I get and the positive reviews, help it get heard by more people. And if you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for listening to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. To listen to all my interviews, subscribe to Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and many other popular podcast platforms. Some of these interviews are on video, and you can search YouTube for Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson. You can also access the entire library of interviews on my website, orange.coaching.com, and that is orange.coaching.com, and go to the Media Center and click on Podcasts or Video Gallery. You can also enter the website from pilpodcast.com.